I pointed the muzzle at his forehead and pulled the trigger. The only sound was a click. He was right. It wasn't loaded. I put the gun down and bit my lip, unable to think. Boris opened the desk drawer and took out a handful of shells, holding them on his palm for me to see. He had trapped me. The whole thing had been a ruse.
I have known for a long time that you wanted to kill me,
he said softly.
You have imagined yourself doing it, pictured it in your head any number of times, am I right?
I am certain I advised you long ago never to use your imagination. It can only cost you your life. Oh well, never mind. There is simply no way that you could ever kill me. Boris took two of the shells from his palm and threw them at my feet. They clattered across the floor to where I stood.
Those are life shells, he said. This is no trick. Put them in the gun and shoot me. It will be your last chance. If you really want to kill me, take careful aim. But if you miss, you must promise never to reveal my secrets. You must tell no one in the world what I have been doing here. This will be our little deal.
I nodded to him. I made my promise. Holding the pistol between my knees again, I pressed the release button, took out the magazine, and loaded the two cartridges into it. This was no easy feat with one hand, a hand that was trembling all the while. Boris observed my movements with a cool expression on his face. There was even the hint of a smile there. Once I had succeeded in thrusting the magazine back into the grip, I took aim between his eyes, forced my hand to stop trembling, and pulled the trigger. The room shook with the roar of the gun, but the bullet passed by Boris's ear and slammed into the wall. White, pulverized plaster flew in all directions. I had missed from only 6 feet away. I was not a poor marksman. When stationed in Xinjiang, I had done my target practice with a great deal of enthusiasm. And although I had only my right hand now, it was stronger than that of most people, and the Walther was the kind of well-balanced pistol that let you take precise, steady aim. I could not believe that I had missed. Once again, I cocked the hammer and took aim. I sucked in one deep breath and told myself, "You have to kill this man. By killing him, I could make it mean something that I had lived."
"Take steady aim now, Lieutenant Mamiya. It's your last bullet."
Boris was still smiling. At that moment, the Tatar came running into the room, his big pistol drawn.
"Keep out of this,"
Boris barked at him.
"Let Mamiya shoot me, and if he manages to kill me, do whatever you like."
The Tatar nodded and pointed the muzzle of his gun at me. Gripping the Walther in my right hand, I thrust it straight out, aimed for the middle of Boris's contemptuous, confident smile, and coolly squeezed the trigger. The pistol kicked, but I held it steady. It was a perfectly executed shot, but again the bullet grazed Boris's head, this time smashing the wall clock behind him into a million pieces. Boris never so much as twitched an eyebrow. Leaning back in his chair, he went on staring at me with his snake-like eyes. The pistol crashed to the floor. For a moment, no one moved or spoke. Soon, though, Boris left his chair and bent over to retrieve the Walther from where I had dropped it. After a long, thoughtful look at the pistol in his hand, he returned it to his holster on the coat rack. Then he patted my arm twice, as if to comfort me. "I told you you couldn't kill me, didn't I?" Boris said. He took a pack of Camels from his pocket, put a cigarette between his lips, and lit it with his lighter.
"There was nothing wrong with your shooting. It was just that you couldn't kill me," You weren't qualified to kill me. That is the only reason you missed your chance. And now, unfortunately,